You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I was getting into the music. I almost forgot I had a show to do. But anyway, I want to welcome back my good friend, Mr. Reggie Jackson. He's the CEO of Reggie Jackson Incorporated. Reggie Jackson is an award-winning journalist, a speaker, researcher, writer, with a deep comprehensive knowledge of how our country's racial hierarchy developed historically and its impact on our lives today. He's a graduate of Concordia University, co-founder of, you know, many other things. He's a griot at America's Black Holocaust. In addition, he's won so many awards, it would take the entire show to, you know, to talk about it. But anyway, Reggie's going to be joining me every Monday at 9 o'clock. Reggie, thank you for accepting the invitation, man. I look forward to us having great dialogue, man.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you again, Earl. Looking forward to it.
I mean, I have to start here, Reggie. You are a military veteran. And I have to ask you, as a military veteran, how you feel about Donald Trump's anti-diversity push at Arlington Cemetery. Arlington National Cemetery has purged its website of pages about notable Black, Hispanic, and women veterans, as well as information about the Civil War and Black history, as the Trump administration's ongoing effort to remove references to diversity and inclusion on government web pages. Reggie, it's clear he doesn't know what the hell diversity, equity, and inclusion stands for, and neither do the people who support him. But as Black men, as Black Americans, how does it make you feel to see this assault and this attack really on Blacks, on Hispanics,
Earl,
on women?
It's the height of disrespect, Earl. Nothing could be more disrespectful than disrespecting veterans. It appears to me this is just a blatant attempt. I mean, blatantly racist attempt, racist, misogynist, homophobic attempt to erase the history of anybody who's not a straight white male from anything related to American history. They want to make it appear that the only people that have ever done anything in this country worthwhile are straight white men. They don't want to talk about any woman that's ever done anything noteworthy, any person of color that's ever done anything noteworthy. It's very blatant. It's becoming more and more blatant every day, Earl. You know, some people want to deny it. Oh, it's DEI. You don't even know what the hell DEI is. And excuse my French.
No.
People complain about DEI, don't know what it is. They don't really care. That's the key point, is they don't care to know what it is, Earl. It's very easy to discover what DEI is. There's so many, you know, scholars that do this work. And it's not hard to figure out what it is, but they've labeled it. They've controlled a narrative about it in such a way that people, think that it's something bad, that it's an attack on white society somehow, when nothing could be further from the truth, Earl. It's just absolutely ridiculous. and the level of racism from this administration has reached an all-time high, in my opinion. I saw this during the first Trump administration. My company that I used to work with, Nurture Diversity Partners, we were in negotiations with U.S. Marine Corps to do some training on unconscious bias when Trump issued his executive order in September of 2020 banning any work that he called divisive concepts. And that pretty much ended those conversations we were having with Marine Corps. We lost that contract. I was very upset because you're literally taking money out of my pocket and forcing, you know, the U.S. Marine Corps, who reached out to us. We didn't reach out to them. They reached out to us because we had done some work with the U.S. Department of Energy. And I guess it went over so well that they told some folks at the U.S. Marine Corps that, you know, they should, you know, hire us to do the same training. And so it's really, I've been saying this to people, Earl, for a long period of time, that racism is a powerful force. People want to act like, you know, all of this stuff that's been happening that we call DE&I, or whatever name we've chosen to call it over the last 50, 60 years, regardless of which name it is, they want to label that stuff as reverse racism, and somehow it's reverse, you know, it's racism against white people. And it's just so ridiculous. But when you start to talk about the people in Arlington National Cemetery, these heroic people that are there, it's just the height of disrespect for the U.S. military. But I mean, look what they're doing to the Veterans Administration. They're firing people that work for the Veterans Administration, firing veterans that work for the Veterans Administration. So this administration has no respect for military veterans. I don't care if you're Black, white, Hispanic, whatever. They've shown that they have no respect for you. And the height of ridiculousness is when they remove references to the Enola Gay, the airplane that dropped the first atomic bomb on Japan, because it had the word gay in the name of it. I mean, that is just showing you how just ridiculously stupid these people are.
You know, it wouldn't be such an issue if Donald Trump was standing alone with this foolishness. But he still got almost 50% of the population that agrees with him. And so
I think they voted for him.
Yes.
But I can guarantee you, Earl, there's a lot of people that voted for that man that are sitting and regretting that decision. They have buyer's remorse, a lot of them. I've been reading articles, you know, over the last couple of weeks about people that voted for Donald Trump that saying they regret his decision. There's a man here in Wisconsin who voted for Donald Trump, and last week they decided to deport his wife. And he said he's so upset about, you know, the fact that his wife could be deported. So, you know, even though he, you know, this is November, this is March now. And a lot of those people that voted for him back in November, I'm sure don't feel the same way about him as they felt back in November.
So if you're just joining me, I am joined by Mr. Reggie Jackson. He is the CEO of Reggie Jackson, Inc. He is going to be joining me every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and we're going to be discussing a whole array of subjects and a whole array of things. You know, Reggie, I have to say to you, man, you know, nobody can argue about whether or not what's at the root of Donald Trump and his minions is racism and bigotry. And so, you know, again, he doesn't stand alone. And so this ugly historical part of our nation never went away. And so it's still there. And so as a Black man, a Black American, I have to tell you, to see this happening in broad daylight and not having enough people speak out in public about what they know this is, just blatant racism. And yet we're supposed to say, you know, he's the president. He's my president. Hell no, he's not my president. Okay? I didn't vote for him. And so those of you who support him, you see what he's doing. You know what he is. If you support that, you know, Dr. King said, what allows this to happen, Reggie, is that the good people are silent. Right? I mean, that's what he said. Yeah, going back 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it still stands today.
I think that they call them good people is a misnomer, Earl, because obviously if they were good people, they would be speaking up. They would be saying something. They're not good people. Let's not give them that label. They're not good people because they're not speaking out against what's happening. They're not paying attention to what Elon Musk and so-called Doge, which isn't really a real organization. The only way you can have a government organization, it has to be created by Congress. The president can't create a government organization. It's illegal. Doge is illegal. It doesn't really exist other than the minds of Elon Musk and some other folks. It's not even real, but Trump has given it the power to act like it's something real. And I'm looking at Congress, and I'm just so disappointed in Congress. Just sitting back and just watching all of this foolishness happen and saying literally next to nothing about it. I'm very disappointed with our former president, Barack Obama, not saying a word. He's been, so quiet.
Bill Clinton.
Since all this stuff. Bill Clinton.
George Bush Jr.
George Bush. All of these men that served as president that claim they love this country so much, and they're watching this man destroy this country, and they're saying next to nothing about it. Another person that's disappointed me, Oprah Winfrey, who people, she could have won the election. No, she couldn't have won the election. People in this country are not willing to vote for a woman president. So when we talk about, all the black men that voted for Donald Trump, some of those men are men who would never vote for a woman for president. So, it's disappointing.
So listen to this. It doesn't stop there. Trump signs order to dismantle seven federal agencies focused on media, libraries, and homelessness. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's a monster, a man who has no heart, who wants to cut funding for homelessness. What kind of monster is willing to cut the support that people who live on the streets in the wealthiest nation on earth, and people don't open their damn mouths? Oh, that's Donald Trump is my man. He's my man. Listen to this statement from this guy. Okay, why did the Supreme Court have to rule against racial quotas if there wasn't any? In June 2023, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against race conscious admissions in college and university admissions, effectively ending affirmative action in higher education in the cases of Student versus Fair Admissions, Inc., president and fellows of Harvard College and Students for Fair Admissions, and Inc., versus University of North Carolina. 855-752-4842. Reggie Jackson and you on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Reggie Jackson. Again, he's going to be joining me every Monday at 9 o'clock. Reggie, I was talking about, the response that this guy, James, had to say, and let me do this before I turn it over to you. President Trump on Friday signed an executive order that aims to eliminate 7 federal agencies, including ones that focus on media, libraries, museums, and ending homelessness. Reggie, your thoughts?
Well, Earl, once again, this shows me how often these people who have no argument, who have no leg to stand on when it comes to what we're talking about, tries to change the subject, Earl. James, listen, man, we're not going to change the subject just because you want to change the subject. You call the wrong station. Call one of these conservative talk shows. We don't want to talk about this BS you just brought up. We're talking about something completely different. We're not going to change the topic just because you're not comfortable answering what we're saying. Find another show.
Very well said, my friend. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what? Mike, are you there? Okay, let's go to Tom from L.A.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning. I just want to say that, first off, I would vote for Ann for state superintendent of schools and also Jeannie for superintendent of schools over that Kinzinger, because to me, she's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And also, she is doing just like Donald Trump did. She says grocery. She talks about one-on-one type of.
Okay, Tom.
That's not possible. So now I'm going to ask my question. I know. I went back. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Second, Reggie, do you think every day in this country that the United States of America, American citizens, really understand the difference between private and public? Because I don't think they do. I know I did not know it until I was probably around 25 years old. And I'm telling you what, these Republicans at the helm, all of them, want to privatize everything or profitize everything for their donors or for the rich. The public is for the public good. It is not there to make money.
Hey, Tom.
It's there for the public good. And I hope that you guys keep repeating this day after day, because I'm telling you, Earl, he wants to privatize everything that there is.
Hey, Tom, we're talking about the racist bigotry that is...
It all plays in.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Good morning. Love Motown Monday. Thanks for the great music.
Yeah, thank you.
Good start of the week. I'm listening to both sides of the argument here, as far as 7 out of 10 students having trouble reading. And to me, it couldn't be more obvious. You know, the dumbing down, the taking away of assets, the way somehow we devolved into funding our schools is, it looks like it's designed to fail to me. What do you think, Earl?
It's clearly designed to do that,
And the poor outcomes are all over the place. And I just have to say this is not anything new. Citizenship is either going to save us, or the lack of citizenship is going to be our demise. The lack of will from the American people, the mamby-pamby attitude that, it's maybe not my problem, or I'm not going to go to the PTA meeting tonight, or, I'm going to find a way to get out of jury duty. We got to get our heads back on straight, Earl. And it just seems to me that once the citizens just say, enough of this stuff, we've all pretty much come to the point, Earl, that this is all contrived, that this conflict is unnecessary. It's all about greed and authoritative power. But yet, somehow, to your point, roughly half of the people are missing it. And, when Reggie comes on, and we need Reggie to come on every Monday, we need to start opening up our eyes and, quite frankly, our hearts a little bit to the reality that we have found ourselves in. So I'd like to end it by saying this one more time. Citizenship will either save us or it will sink us.
Hey, Mike.
To the American people.
Hey, yep. Mike, call me after the show. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. 855-752-4842. Guys, Reggie Jackson is on the docket again. He'll be here every Monday at 9 o'clock. We're talking about Donald Trump and Republicans and you know, where this thing is and the fact that people just don't want to talk about it. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Reggie, so, you know, you've dedicated your life to trying to build bridges and to try to educate people on these differences. And so, you know, you face a battle before, but this battle, your thoughts?
Well, Earl, this is just an intensification of what I've been dealing with my entire life. You know, I tell people that I came into the world born in a little town in Mississippi that had a segregated hospital the day I was born. So I've been dealing with this mess since day one, Earl. And I'm just seeing an intensification of the same thing I've dealt with, you know, constantly. You know, as I've traveled around the state of Wisconsin, over 50 different communities, talking to people about these topics, one of the things that I found is that people are very interested in learning a different version of American history. They want to hear about, you know, the stories that they don't hear about in their schools. They want to hear about the stories of women and, you know, people of color. They want to hear those stories, Earl. They ask me to come to these places so I can give them those stories. They're not trying to run away from it. And the people that don't show up are the same people, Earl. I've said this many times before. The people that don't show up when I go to these places, whether it's Wausau, La Crosse, Janesville, Beloit, you know, Burlington, wherever I go in the state of Wisconsin, the people that I notice that are absent from the room are typically white men. They don't want to show up, Earl. They don't want to hear any of these things. They feel like it's an attack on them. I actually had a man accuse me of attacking white men. When I started, the first thing that I talked about was white men, how back in the 1920s, how immigration laws were trying to keep certain white people out of the country. And he said, you didn't even talk about white men. I said, dude, that's the first thing I talked about. So they don't want to hear it, Earl. Some of these people don't want to hear it.
All right, let's go to Al. Hey, Al, how you doing, man? Al from Milwaukee.
Good, because I love me. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, Al, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
All right.
Wounded veteran. Wounded veteran. Go ahead.
But why won't we talk about the bottom line? The bottom line is money. And in 2016, when that idiot got in office, there were meetings around the world about reducing the population of the world by 3 billion people. Shortly after that, COVID hit. After that, there was more garbage. The point is, and I told you, Earl, a man wrote, and it wasn't me, an article that if Trump attacks Social Security and Medicare, it's about killing off 26 million or more people to free up money that he will then have access to. He's trying to be as rich as or richer than that fool from South Africa.
Elon Musk, yeah, right.
Well, I know his name. I didn't want to say it. The point is, it's all about the dollar bill. They don't care about people, and they damn sure don't care about people of color. So it's about getting to the money, and in order to do that, if you destroy Medicare and Social Security, you have access to trillions of dollars sitting in at interest in somebody's bank that they want to get their hands on. All of this stuff about terminating all these people from their jobs is freeing up money. They don't care about the U.S. debt. They care about, if we can clear up all this money, I can get my hands on it.
Hey, Al.
Nobody's talking about that.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brian. Good morning to you, Brian. You say what?
Good morning. Yeah, you know, the thing that really surprises me with everything going on is how many people are just sitting back. I hear from people who voted for Trump and people who didn't vote for Trump that say, well, what's going on now isn't affecting me, so I'm not going to do anything until it does. How much worse do we need to get? You know what I mean? And I post stuff on Facebook all the time about how we need to vote, how we need to stand up for this, how we need to fight back. And, you know, I still get people saying, well, do you really need to post that? You know, why don't we just let the Republican Party fold on itself? It's not going to. This is the time that we all need to come together and stand up for each other. You know, I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, whatever. We're all human beings, and this is going to affect everyone, you know? And we need to stand up for each other.
Hey, you know? Brian, you are right on point, sir. Reggie?
Yeah, Brian, listen, you're on point. It's going to affect everybody. But listen, some people, they can be right in front of a train that's coming down the tracks and sitting there looking at the train, right, and they won't move. That's who some of these people are.
Right.
They're waiting for the train to hit them. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to try to start their car up and move off the train tracks until the train literally hits their car. And they're not going to do anything until the train hits their car. By then, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, part of what I have an issue with is that people are so reactive. Instead of being proactive, they should have been doing stuff. They should have been coming together before this man got in office again. We saw what he did the first time he was in office. Did we think he was going to do something different? Listen, the difference between Trump 1.0 and 2.0 is when he came in office in 2016, he brought a bunch of idiots with him, a bunch of complete idiots who didn't know what the heck they were doing. And he was firing people left and right. People don't remember that. His first 100 days, he fired out how many people. But this time, at least, he brought in some people that are somewhat intelligent. They may be horrible people, but they're smart. And they know a little bit more about how to destroy stuff than those people he brought in with him the first time.
Hey, Brian, thank you very much for the call. Cindy in Appleton, you're up next.
Hello, good morning. I just wanted to say that it's not only a lot of black men that voted for the convicted felon, it was also a lot of church parishioners because they were brainwashed by their pastors into voting for him because of the abortion issue, which doesn't have anything to do with it because he could care less about that. And you have a caller, Earl, her name is Cassandra, who is a black woman who had the opportunity to vote for a black woman, yet she chose to vote for the old, pale, stale, male, convicted rapist and she's still very proud of that. So I don't know how you guys wrap your heads around the fact that the people of color voted for the biggest racist on the planet.
Well, I can tell you the numbers of people of color who voted for Donald Trump aren't what people are acting or acting as though, you know, overwhelming numbers of people of color voted for Donald Trump. Not the case, Reggie, is it?
No, absolutely not. And she's ignoring the fact that a majority of white women voted for Donald Trump. Did you not notice those data points too? So that's not blaming on people of color. Majority of white women voted for Trump. Each time he's run, he's gotten the majority of the white female vote. So let's not act like white women are responsible for this too.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Where do we go next? David. David, you're up next. You say what?
Oh, thanks, Earl. I'm just going to raise the basics that racism is taxation without representation. That, you know, and when, whether it's bigots like Elon Musk and his little crew, or bigots like Trump, or bigots like the GOP, they basically say, oh, these people don't deserve to have good schools. They don't deserve to have good roads. And they pretend that the rich pay taxes, but in fact, the rich don't pay taxes. And the poorest bum pays more taxes than General Motors. So the idea that, you know, people are spending way too much time analyzing this when it's simply taxation without representation.
All right, David, thank you very much for the call. Eric from Tulsa, you're up.
Hello, Earl. Hello, Reggie. It's nice to talk to you again. I'm sorry. I just had to jump on really quickly about hearing someone calling out Cassandra. Now, I will at times criticize Cassandra's opinions, but again, like Reggie made clear, I believe it's 53% of white women and nearly 60% of white men voted for this catastrophe. I believe it's more than 80% of black folks nationwide did not vote for this. So let's not cherry pick our judgments when we're trying to figure out what's going on here and just move forward as a whole. We need to stop splitting hairs here. Thank you.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Cassandra, you're up next. Cassandra. All right, so let's see. So Reggie, you know, at the root of all of it is how do we get out of it, right? Okay, because even in the face of all these, you saw where he was, he basically ignored the judge's orders yesterday. Okay, The same man who talks about criminals in our community. We got to lock the people up, they're criminals. Here's the president
a convicted felon calling people criminals. Has he ever looked in the mirror?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And totally
ignored. He has no legitimacy when it comes to talking about that, in my opinion.
No.
You can't talk about that when you're a convicted felon.
Well, it clearly didn't matter that he was a convicted felon, okay, because people voted for him anyway. In the face of, as you stated, knowing what he did. Here's the other part of this. The Democrats are at the lowest ebb in history. There are people blaming Democrats. How do you blame the Democrats for what Donald Trump is and Republicans are doing, man? Okay. Democrats aren't in charge. So to say that the Democrats should somehow, you know, what are they supposed to do, man, to stop Donald Trump and the Republicans who control everything because people voted for them? Donald Trump would not be in charge if he didn't get the majority of the votes. So deal with the people who voted for him. And the people who voted for him, because they're not, for the most part, screaming and yelling and saying to the top of their lungs, we made a mistake. They're part of this train wreck. Okay? They've helped create this situation. But the answer clearly is not, well, the Democrats, they're not doing anything. What are you talking about, man?
Earl, the only people that are blaming Democrats are Republicans who don't want to take responsibility for their vote. They voted for this administration, and they see all of the foolishness that he's doing, you know, ignoring judges, all of the crazy stuff he's doing. They don't want to take responsibility. They're partly responsible. I tell people, you voted for him. You own all of the stuff he's doing. You own it. You voted for him.
Hey, man,
you own it. Don't blame the Democrats.
It's that simple.
To do it.
It's that simple, right? I mean, come on. It's that simple. You knew who he was. Well, Joe Biden was too old, and the Democrats knew that Joe Biden was too old. And, hey, man, come on. My guest is Reggie Jackson, an award-winning journalist, a speaker, researcher, writer, with a deep, comprehensive knowledge of our country's racial hierarchy developed historically and its impact on our lives today. He's a graduate of Concordia University, co-founder of Nurturing Diversity Partners, and the head grill for the America's Black Holocaust Museum, in addition to all sorts of awards across the nation. He's also the CEO of Reggie Jackson, Inc. And last but not least, he's now on with Earl Ingram every Monday at 9 o'clock. Mark your calendars. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. My guest, the one and only Reggie Jackson. Mark your calendars. Every Monday at 9 o'clock, he'll be joining me. Let's go back to the phone lines and Cassandra. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was working on my garden, and I was listening to you, and I heard my name mentioned twice on the air. First of all, I'd just like to repeat for those who didn't hear, or is that, yes, I am a black female, and yes, I did vote for Trump. I am 59 years old. I've been voting for the Democratic Party for 35 years. And this election, I voted straight ticket Republican. And I did so not because I believe in MAGA, not because I buy into the entire Republican Party platform. I did so because I am just frustrated with the ineptitude of the Democratic Party. And I know you're short on time. And Reggie, I would love to speak with you again on one of your morning Monday morning visits, but there are a lot of callers who are just uninformed about what is going on in the black community. I came to my moment of epiphany early. Are you all aware that the Win with the Black Women Coalition, they are so angry with Chuck Schumer over the continuing resolution on letting it pass that many of them are pulling their donations from Act Blue and the Democratic
Party. Okay, so what are they going to do, vote for Donald Trump and the Republicans, Cassandra, in the face of what we see them doing? Is that what they're going to do?
Earl, here's something that white liberals and the Democratic Party have to wake up to. During the 1990s, it was the white Irish people who were the pivotal vote. During the 2000s, it was the Hispanics. Today, the pivotal voter today are Black conservatives. So whether you like it or not, but you have Black women who is considered the backbone of the Democratic Party. They're going to pull their money. Shortly, they're going to say, I'm taking
I know,
my
so
vote.
What are they going to do? Vote for another lunatic like Donald Trump?
You know what?
They get what they deserve. They get what they deserve. Reggie, you want to respond?
You know, Earl, I generally don't like to have this conversation because, listen, people vote however they want to vote, and I don't try to tell people to vote one way or the other. Listen, I have issues with the Democratic Party as well, but listen, they're not as crazy as this GOP under Donald Trump. I don't care what they've done. And historically, the Democratic Party has done a lot of damage to the Black community, but they haven't done nearly as much damage as the Republican Party has done. And to ignore that history is just foolishness to me.
Cassandra?
Earl, our community is regressing. What are we supposed to do? Continue voting for a party that is not going to improve our
So is Donald Trump approving it by eliminating the history of Black people, wiping it off from the face of our nation? I don't follow that, Cassandra.
Earl, we are in a situation where we have to figure out a new strategy.
It's not conservatives and Donald Trump. I'm sorry. You know.
We are going to have to agree to disagree.
All right. Thank you. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Reggie, you know, how do you, you know? That's an educated woman, man. That's an educated
agreeing
woman.
Agreeing to disagree? I'm all with that. Listen, I can agree to disagree with her. I'm not going to try to argue with Cassandra. She feels the way she feels for whatever her reasons are. But if you honestly believe that just, you know, leaving the Democrats and voting for Republicans is the way to go, then I think you need to reassess that, the intelligence of that, because it's not intelligent. Look at what the GOP is doing right now. Listen to what Donald Trump is saying about us. He's literally erasing Black history. And you're saying, oh, those Democrats. Well, tell me when they erased Black history. When the Democratic Party erased Black history, when they erased the names of people who served in the military, tell me when they were against things that have helped the entire community around the United States. Diversity, equity, inclusion is about everybody. It's not about eliminating certain groups. It's about uplifting everybody. And the GOP is doing the exact opposite of that. And so your vote for the GOP, I tell people that voted for them, you're getting exactly what you deserve. So, Cassandra, I hope that you're not depending on Social Security, because they're going to come after Social Security at some point. And I'm hoping that years from now when you retire and you may be depending on Social Security, I'm hoping it's still around for you. And if it's not, then, your vote for Donald Trump is part of the reason it's not. So just think about that.
And so whatever that group of Black women is she's talking about, I'm glad it's not the majority of Black women, because the majority of Black women didn't go that direction. A group of conservative Black women, it certainly pales in comparison to all the Black women who don't support that. Hey, Reggie, thank you very much, man. It went too fast. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next Monday. Congratulations on accepting the invitation. Up next, Jane Magnair, Greg Bach. Thank all of you who made the show go. I'll see you guys back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.